Welcome on into the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast once again. I am CB and hope you're finding us as we are here to discuss the great action this past week in the PWHL. We had some truly historic games, a lot of first goals for players that were looking for those, and the action is getting intense. It looks like the standings are starting to take shape, and we've got a couple of teams at the top, a couple of teams more at the bottom, and we'll take a look at everything. So stay tuned. Here we go.
It's time for the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast.
So welcome on in to another episode of the PWHL Puck Drop Podcast. And you can find us now on all your major podcasting platforms. That's really exciting. We are on Apple Podcasts now. And if you're watching us on YouTube or turn on the video on Spotify, you can see some of the great action as I talk. Otherwise, I'll try to cover it all for you. It's been a great week with some truly historic games, some great moments for individual players, some first goals, a couple of folks still looking for those first goals, but we'll keep you posted on all of that. Let's get into it. There's a lot to cover. First up, as you know, the format was announced for the PWHL 3-on-3 showcase that's taking place at the All-Star Game in Toronto on the weekend of February 3rd. The players will be split into two teams, Team Billie Jean King and Team Alana Kloss. It looks like the players that will be representing each team are basically the top players from USA and Canada, split kind of randomly, but we're going to see some interesting teammates and existing teammates playing on opposite sides. We're going to see Hillary Knight and Marie-Philippe Poulin together on Team King, and as well as Anne-Renee Desbiens and Aaron Frankel. Good luck stopping them. But on the other side, you're going to have Mashmeyer and Hensley and the Toronto D pair, Fast and Larocque, trying to stop them. So check their website and also the NHL website for that news. But I want to go back to last weekend's games where we had just a couple of really interesting tight matches. It's good to see Boston getting some games in. Unfortunately, they went into New York and maybe didn't have their best effort. They were shown up by a hat trick for Jade Downey-Landry, which was a bit of a surprise. It's only the third hat trick after Grace Sumwinkle and Marie-Philippe Poulin. Jade Downey-Landry with her first, second, and third goals. So good for her. She's got a total of 5 points already in the 6 games. So she's a bit of a surprise player. And actually, Boston outshot New York by quite a large margin. You can see here, 33-19 overall. But a star in the making, Corinne Schroeder, was solid as a backstop for New York. And the word came down today that she is going to be part of Canada's roster for the rivalry series, and well-deserved for her. She's one of the leading goalies in the league. The only player that could get a goal by her was Lauren Gabel, who's starting to show up really well for Boston. But that was not as close as some of the other games have been. A bit of a disappointing result for Boston, but don't worry, they're going to make up for it later. Also on Saturday, we had what I think is the game of the season so far between Toronto and Montreal, Toronto visiting Montreal, and it had a lot of firsts, a lot of historic events happening. Of course, you know, there was a shootout. I'm not going to say it's a spoiler because you've watched it by now. So it was close. It was furious action. The shots were really high for Toronto, and they just seemed to come out and really be looking for their first win, playing hard. Toronto outshot Montreal by a wide margin. They were really pressing, looking for a win that they need so badly. And it was close. We had a goal from Sarah Bugeaud in the first period to put Montreal up 1-0. And then Jocelyn Larocque, the veteran, with her first goal for Toronto. And it was answered pretty quickly by a breakaway goal from the one and only Marie-Philippe Poulin, who's figuring large already this season and definitely in this game. And into the third period, where we saw the first goal this season and in the PWHL career for Maggie Connors. Great to see her get on the board. She's been elevated to the top line for Toronto, but in this case, she was on the ice with the start of the third line, Rebecca Leslie and Jesse Comfer. So the game is tied at 2, and it looks like we're going to have yet another 3-2 finish until late in the game, when just a great effort again by Maggie Connors down the boards and takes a big hit. She dishes it over, and of course, it's Natalie Spooner who's becoming clutch for this team with her third goal at 18:36 of the third period. And you think, well, that's the game. Great effort by Toronto. They're going to win. Hold on a second, because Montreal pulls the goalie. You know, when Marie-Philippe Poulin is on the ice, you think you want to pay special attention to her. But on the other hand, what if she dishes it off to somebody that you're forgetting about? And all eyes are on her as she simply circles outside the blue line, skates it in, beats about three players, including Toronto's D of Larocque and Renata Fast, scores just a complete highlight reel goal, and the place goes crazy. It's tied 3-3, and we're going to overtime. So this game had everything: great goaltending, great offense, some hard hitting. And in the overtime, nobody scored. So we are getting our first shootout in PWHL history. This one was crazy. People weren't necessarily aware of the rule that a player could shoot more than once. So out goes Marie-Philippe Poulin for the first try, and Campbell makes the save. Maggie Connors, who looks like she's the hot player, is also stopped. Poulin gets to try again. Yes, the rule is that she can shoot multiple times. And good for Campbell. She makes a save. Natalie Spooner, no goal. Then Teresa Venisheva lines up for Montreal. Again, no goal. Finally, Hannah Miller scores for Toronto, and you think maybe they're going to pull this out. But Poulin skates back out, and this time she goes to the backhand, scores on Campbell. Sarah Nurse, no goal. Marie-Philippe Poulin, once again, no goal. Hannah Miller, no goal. And Laura Stacey gives Poulin a bit of relief, but she is stopped. And out skates the hero of the game, Lauriane Rougeau, a defensive defender. And she looks calm and confident as she just pots the game-winning goal. I went to Twitter afterwards to kind of find out why Troy Ryan made this decision. And our favorite Cheryl Pounder made the observation that goalies do not have a book on players like Rougeau. She's a defensive defender. She doesn't typically get a lot of, you know, breakaway chances. So she doesn't know what her moves are. And that's all it took. Toronto goes wild. That was just a crazy game. You know, they needed the 3 points to get back in the standings. But overall, it was just excitement. You couldn't help but be happy to see Poulin score just a clutch goal. She's showing just what she's made of and is, I believe, second overall in league scoring right now. So that was just an instant classic, if you want to call it that. By the way, speaking of Venisheva, I'm watching the Czech players closely. They've been so much fun to watch. And if you subscribe to my YouTube channel, you will see that I made a video with PWHL Hockey Gal. She did a lot of digging and research into the Czech players. Venisheva has just been incredible to watch so far. Team Montreal does have two players, Dominika Leskova, who is a converted forward to defense. She was the top Czech player taken in the draft, and also Teresa Venisheva, and they have known each other for years. You can see in this article from Sportsnet that they were at Czechia's under-15 national camp, and they've been friends. They played in the Toronto Six and got a championship together there. So that's just been fun to watch. Two of them on Montreal. And then on the team Ottawa, Katerina Mrazova has been super noticeable. She's just an offensive force. And I think she's been elevated to the second line. And on D, Aneta Terilova, who's more of a quiet defensive defenseman. But if you watch closely, and this decor for Ottawa is fantastic, by the way. So she's playing there with her friend. And meanwhile, over on Team Minnesota, we have Denisa Krizova. She is playing on the top line with Heise and Zumwinkel right now. She hasn't really been putting up the points, but she's been a noticeable player as well. It's just kind of one of those feel-good stories to keep an eye on them. And then back to a game between Toronto and Ottawa that came off the heels of that shootout win for Toronto. They went into Ottawa. The Prime Minister was there. The crowd in Ottawa is always just fantastic. And again, Toronto with tons of shots, but no finish. And in the first period, we had the first goal for Emily Clark, which was just amazing to see. The crowd loves her. She's a fan favorite. But midway through the first, Brittany Howard scores her first goal. She's kind of a sniper on her line, and good to see her get that finish. And then a first goal for Captain Breanne Jenner, which, what can you say? It's great to see these players notching their first goal, and the floodgates are going to open for those. So it's back and forth action between these two teams. I did a sort of instant reaction. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, they seem to have a really good rivalry going, and Toronto's pressing. They're trying to climb back in the standings. And this game saw the first start for goalie Erica Howe for Toronto. So good to see her get in and get a start. She played well. Maybe the Clark goal was a little bit on the suspicious side, but overall, you know, they need to play their backup. And it's 2-1 for Ottawa into the third. Toronto actually gets a power play and pulls their goalie. So it's 6-on-4. And then magical Lexi Agia just throws a puck around the boards and it rims around the dasher, goes down the ice, has a curl to it, and into the net. So that's not only a jailbreak goal, it's a game-winning goal, and it continues Agia's streak of points, and she has scored in all 5 of Ottawa's games right now. So she's a story in the making as well, and that was just a great game. Again, check it out on my YouTube channel if you want to see my thoughts on Toronto. Basically, what it comes down to is Toronto has no finish, and they look a little wild and scrambly in their own end. I particularly paid attention to Renata Fast, who is a great player, but she's a bit of a riverboat gambler. She loves to rush the puck up the ice. She might get caught. She may remind you of somebody like Morgan Riley. So my new theory is that the Team Canada pressure on these players is a lot. Like for someone like Fast, if she continues a lot of loose play and makes these turnovers as she's been doing, you wonder if it starts to get in her head that her Team Canada coach is watching her and it might affect her position on the team, or if she even makes it at all, because some of the other Team Canada defenders are really showing well. You've got Ashton Bell, Erin Ambrose, Ella Shelton. They're already on the team, of course, but you know, they might be taking over some of the top spots from LaRocque and Fast, as Troy Ryan has a front row seat to see that their defensive coverage just isn't there. And, you know, it's going to be a pet peeve of mine probably throughout the season that I really wanted Toronto to take Alina Mueller. She went to Boston 3rd overall, but boy, they could use a sniper like her. Right now, it's Spooner who's leading the way. And Blair Turnbull looks completely frustrated. She had a lot of attempts. We'll see if I can find her shots on goal in this game. Yeah, she had 2 shots on goal and also 2 penalty minutes, as she is the penalty minute leader in the league. She is a captain that does not have a point yet, along with Hillary Knight. So that's a bit of a storyline. We saw Breanne Jenner get her goal. So things are starting to come together there, but not in Toronto, where they are just sitting at the bottom of the league. You're starting to see some separation here. It looks like Montreal and Minnesota are sitting at the top of the league and might have a rivalry as we get into the early middle part of the season. And Boston and Ottawa seem to have just a great rivalry going, and they are kind of the 2 teams in the middle. And it looks like New York and Toronto might be battling it out to be at the bottom. But right now, Toronto has that basement lead and look to be favorites to be drafting Sarah Filliar next summer. So speaking of that Boston-Ottawa rivalry, they had a game in Ottawa, a back-to-back for Ottawa, and they played their backup goalie, Sandra Abstrider. It was a really close game. Unfortunately, Abstrider was injured when Jamie Lee Rattray scored from Sophie Shirley. It looked like Abstrider, you know, slid across and might have pulled a groin or something. So towards the end of that first period, she had to take herself out and Emerence Mashmeyer had to go back in. But we did see the first goal for Alina Mueller, and she looked just thrilled to get that. It was good to see her get on the board. It was a nice goal. And hometown girl Jamie Lee Rattray with a nice 2-on-1. That was just an awesome moment. The crowd went crazy. Her parents were there. Her minor league coach was there. And so 2-0 for Ottawa until the middle of the second, when another player, and actually someone who has been a healthy scratch for a little bit there for Ottawa, Kristen Della Rovere, got her first goal. So 2-1. And then look who scores for Ottawa on a great play, kind of a rebound. She's She's a fan favorite, and I think she's going to get some attention from Team Canada for sure. Lexi Agia puts it in and makes it a 2-2 game. Erin Frankel was simply standing on her head. She ended up only being the third star, but you know, I'm partial to goaltending performances, and for her, this was just really awesome. She basically won the game for her team, as actually the game-winning goal was scored by Teresa Schaffsall from a great play by Mueller. And with only about 40 seconds left, Boston is up by that score of 3-2. Ottawa does pull the goalie, but unable to get that tying goal. And it's a win for Boston and really needed. It's been interesting to see these games that end against the run of play. There have been some great goaltending performances, and often the team that outshoots the other one does not come out on top, but it's worked both ways. So it's happening to most teams, except for Toronto, when, when you get outshot, you can sometimes pull out that victory. So I'm going to take a quick look at the stats here for you. This is all online, but I want to just note that Alex Carpenter is still leading in points. She has 3 goals, 5 assists in 6 games played. And Marie-Philippe Poulin has 6 goals and only 1 assist. So she is in, a 4-way tie here for second with Ella Shelton, Alina Mueller, who only has the 1 goal and 6 assists. And there's Teresa Vanishova with 1 goal and 6 assists as well. Grace Sumwinkel has been quite a story. She's played just great for Minnesota and has been elevated to the top line. The hat trick helped her a lot, of course, but she's been noticeable in all of the games. And New York's Jesse Eldridge is another player who's been a bit of a surprise. It's going to be really interesting to see how some of these performances in the P-Dub affect the national team play. So there are some surprising names that are doing better than we thought and some names that perhaps aren't as good as we thought. And that brings us quickly to Hillary Knight, who has yet to record a point. In 5 games, just no points there. She is a +1 and she's had a few shots. Looks like she's had 21 shots. So not for lack of trying. We expect to see her get on the board soon. I'm not going to dwell on that, but interesting anyway, just to see how some of the chemistry is happening right now. So with the All-Star break and then the rivalry series, the schedule for the league in February is going to look a little bit different. There's going to be a break from the 4th for 10 days until the 14th, and that's going to be for the All-Star and then for the rivalry series. And then we'll get a lot more action. And then there'll be another break in April when the World Championships happen. So make a note of that. If you're, watching a lot of games and enjoying them, there is going to be a bit of a pause for those two events. And then the final game I wanted to mention is the battle for first between Montreal and Minnesota. That took place on Wednesday when Montreal visited the Xcel Energy Center. And it didn't look quite as physical right off the bat, but it looks like these two are going to have a pretty fierce rivalry. It was close and surprising to see that Corey Chevry decided to start the backup goalie, Elaine Chuli, but it was the right decision as she was the star of the game. Here we go again, where Minnesota outshot Montreal 46-26 total. 23-11 in the second period where they did manage to score. But Laura Stacey had a really, really good game. So you can see that there are players to pick up the slack when Poulin isn't on the board. Poor Taylor Heisey just was getting beaten in that game. She ran into, I believe it was Maureen Murphy, and then Poulin with a semi-hip check, although they seemed to get up and just smile and made sure each other was okay. Heisey was all over the ice in that game, really noticeable, and it was a great game. And a good game for Elaine Chuli, who made 45 saves on 46 shots and was named first star of the game. We had Michaela Kava from Minnesota scoring her first goal. And there's our friend Teresa Vanishova with her first goal, and it ended up being the game-winning goal. She had taken a penalty earlier, and it was good to see that she made up for that with a nice play as the puck was dumped in. And as Nicole Hensley came out to play it, it bounced a little bit awkwardly right to Murphy, who quickly ripped it at the net and it bounced out to Vinicheva, who put it home for her first goal. She said it was, you know, pretty easy, but she was happy to see that go in. And so it wasn't 3-2, but it was 2-1 again, pulling the goalie, but unable to score is Minnesota. And they dropped to second place, even though Montreal has played one more game. But those two look like they're going to be battling it out as long as Heise and Poulin both stay hot. So that brings me to our P-Dub Players of the Week.
Up next, it's the P-Dub Players of the Week.
So every week, we might as well just put the number 29 on here. She just had a great game against Toronto. For that alone, you could give her one of the performances of the week. And a kind of a bit of a surprise player, Jessie Eldridge makes a player of the week for me this week. She's just been showing great for New York and is scoring at a surprising rate. So she earns player of the week honors. And then also Elaine Chooley, good for her. She is, of course, a goalie from Toronto in the PHF. And with that game against Minnesota, she moves herself towards the top of the standings of goaltenders. And for me, those are your P-Dub Players of the Week. Another topic that is, for me, just going to continue to be a story is goaltending. Here's a look at the top goalies by save percentage. And there's Elaine Chooley with that great game. She's only played two games, but great performances in both. And, you know, it's not a coincidence that you see the two Minnesota goalies here up on top and the goalies for Toronto, unfortunately, with save percentages under 90% right now. Erica Howe is at 88 and Kristen Campbell a little bit behind, 87. So I don't know what they're going to do. Campbell might have gotten, you know, a boost from that performance against Montreal. And if you look at the rivalry series, she has been the worst, basically, of Team Canada's three goaltenders that have played. Debienne and Mashmeyer are ahead of her. But doesn't it look like Schroeder is going to get the opportunity now ahead of her? It sure does to me. If we look at goals against average, Maddie Rooney is on top. And you've got Chooley there and Schroeder. So those are the storylines right now for goaltending. Erica Howe has played well. I expect to see her get another start for Toronto. Abby Levy, you know, slightly not what we expect from her, but with Schroeder in place, New York looks fine. And Aaron Frankel has also been playing lights out. So it's goaltending and it's team chemistry. When I put my game highlights up on YouTube, you can see a more in-depth examination of that. So I've enjoyed checking out the Athletics projected standings and playoff projections. Right now, they've got Minnesota and Montreal both at about 85% sure to make the playoffs and 40 to 44% sure to make the finals. And those two teams, Ottawa and Boston, they're in the middle at about 70% likelihood to make the playoffs and about 35% to make the final. New York is hanging in there. They're also, you know, a pretty good shot to make the playoffs. And if you look at Toronto, they're struggling. They're at 17% to make the playoffs, 9% to make the final. So they are really going to need to do some catch up. Maybe after the rivalry series, they'll start putting some different performances together. So don't forget to check out our Twitter. I'm posting there regularly, trying to put some highlights and some opinions there. There's been a lot of fun going on in PWHL Twitter. And like I said, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. The video is on YouTube, so be sure to check us there and subscribe. There's a lot more content there. Thanks for checking us out. That was a lot to cover, so I'm glad you stayed until the end. We'll see you again next week with some game coverage and some highlights and storylines. Do send me some feedback on anywhere that you're listening or watching this. I'm happy to answer any of your questions. We've got a great community going and everybody is welcome. It's been just nothing but positive vibes right now for the PWHL. So thanks again for watching and we'll see you in the next one.
PWHL Pod Drop Podcast.